I can read anything. I can read everything. I can explore. I can learn.
The first book today is not new. And indeed, you may already know this true story. It is, however, new to me, and it's a story I'd like to share. On September 11th, 2001, Kennelly Nyoma was in New York City. A med student from a Maasai village in Africa, he found himself witness to history and aching to help heal this country. The only thing he owned of any value was a cow, a measure of wealth and life in his village. When he returned to his village the following spring, he spoke to the elders and ultimately the entire tribe about the incredible sorrow of September 11th, which they were hearing about for the first time. He asked for the tribe's permission to bless his cow so that he may give it ceremoniously to the people of the United States. His tribe readily agreed, but wanted to do more. Ultimately, the tribe invited the U.S. ambassador to their village, where they held a great healing ceremony and offered their gift. Carmen Agradidi beautifully recounts the story in 14 Cows for America, with stunning illustrations by Thomas Gonzalez. It is a powerful reminder that, as is written in the book, there is no nation so powerful it cannot be wounded, nor a people so small they cannot offer mighty comfort. It's an amazing story, and I hope if you haven't heard it, you come and check it out. This time of year, many of us turn our thoughts to our gardens. What do you do, though, when you live in a big city? In Uncle John's City Garden by Burnett G. Ford, with illustrations by Frank Morrison, we meet Lil Sissy, who recounts the story of her Uncle John, known for his beautiful, lush vegetable garden, grown in a small lot right in the middle of the projects in Brooklyn, New York. Regardless of the big city environment, we see that the worries of gardeners are universal, from getting the seeds planted just right to concerns over the severity of a storm. We are treated to, at the end of the book, a great feast, a recipe for succotash, and an author's note explaining why this is an almost true story. I highly recommend this title to gardeners of any age. The graphic novel started its meteoric rise several years ago. Sometimes eschewed as just a comic book, the graphic novel is so much more. While a comic story is told in a few panels or a few pages, a graphic novel is just that, a book, often several hundred pages long. Humans are hardwired to process visual information, and the graphic novel, with its interplay of words and pictures, plays to this strength. People are often surprised to learn that it takes more brain involvement to read a graphic novel than it does a regular novel. The decoding of text and the interpretation of the imagery happen in different parts of the brain, and these must work together to successfully read a graphic novel. Interestingly enough, I found reading graphic novels to be a challenge until my brain figured it out. I highly recommend them to all my patrons, both those looking for a good story and those looking for nonfiction as well. The graphic format is a great tool to learn something new, and we have several graphic history and graphic science series. If a child in your life is enjoying graphic novels, please keep feeding them graphic novels, knowing their brains are working hard. Also, there are hundreds of graphic novels written for teens and adults. Check them out for yourself. Maybe start with a classic like Anne of Green Gables or A Wrinkle in Time, which are both stunning in graphic format. I just finished Smaller Sister by Maggie Edkins Willis, which was a super story about what happens to a family when one daughter develops a serious eating disorder. I highly recommend it. Author Erin Entrada Kelly has proven her literary skills time and again. Known for middle grade books, She has received both the Newbery Award and the Newbery Honor, among many other commendations. Her latest offering, Those Kids from Fawn Creek, does not disappoint. The seventh grade class in Fawn Creek, Louisiana, has been together since kindergarten. They've never experienced a new student and have only lost a handful of classmates over the years as parents found new jobs elsewhere. Now they number 12. It is a stunning morning indeed when new student Orchid Mason breezes into their classroom with a flower tucked behind her ear. Orchid comes from Paris, was born in New York, and has lived around the globe. What an exotic creature she is. While the Fawn Creek students are at a loss as to how to welcome Orchid, most try to help her feel included. Orchid, on the other hand, seems quite comfortable being the new kid, and soon has the Fawn Creek kids questioning, in the best way, not only their future, but their identities as well. The change Orchid effects is broad and ultimately life-altering for this class. I was left cheering for this group as they come together as nearly one unit to put a bully in her place. The ending for me felt joyous, like the final dance scene from Dirty Dancing, tempered with a little bit of Eleanor Estes' 1944 classic, The Hundred Dresses. I treasured the time I spent with Orchid, Grayson, Dee Dee, and the rest of those kids from Fawn Creek. I think you will too. Happy reading. I can read.